I'm not even looking over at Randy or anything. Hallelujah. Jocelyn, you have a good... I know you didn't get to go see your mom and dad, but they're still doing good? Yeah, okay. Please keep Randy's mom in your prayers, and I'll figure out her name at some point in the near future. But let's stay connected. I mean, you know, there's no reason we can't communicate with one another. But can I just say something to you? I am prophetic in nature, but I'm not psychic. Okay? You've got to let me know things. Now, God may show me some cool things for you when we pray. But, let's don't be crazy. I mean, I can't just like, you know, there's even a verse in Scripture that says if you're sick, that you're supposed to call for the elders to come pray for you. The elders shouldn't have to run you down. Amen? And so a lot of times I don't even find out stuff's going on until way after, you know. And I'm telling you, we need to learn in this area of healing and with issues in our lives, we need to learn how to respond first with God. We've got to learn to do that. And because I think a lot of times that's one of the reasons it's harder to get our breakthrough and get our healing many times, because we kind of go to God as a last resort instead of he ought to be our first choice. Amen? Amen? He ought to be our first choice. And then he would direct us whether we need to take a medication or go see a doctor or whatever. He may tell us to do that, but we ought to seek the Lord first. And you never bother us when you communicate with us of things that are going on. I want you to know that, okay? And so we just want to pray. I just remembered that Leona asked us to pray because there's been exposure with her mom and in her family. And right now they're just waiting for results and all of that, but no symptoms. So we have a lot of people in that kind of a situation too. And we just got to remain in faith and remain faithful and keep people lifted up in prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to continue today with something that I felt like we kind of tapped into right at the end last week. But I wanted to continue because I don't know about you, but I love the holidays. Now, I know a lot of you kind of roll your eyes and you may think, well, this is so busy and all that's going on. And now it seems like some of the joy has been kind of sapped out of it because we're, you know, kind of like having to kind of keep such a distance and all that. But let me just say this to you. The season really was it's for Jesus. And I know it's been commercialized and I know all of that. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything. I just choose to celebrate it and not gripe about it. Amen? I choose to celebrate it. I choose to, even if it's been commercialized, I take it back for the Lord. And I want to emphasize the goodness of God in this time. I hope you can agree with me on that. And I love, you know, I don't think the holiday season begins with Halloween. Thank you. The holiday season begins with Thanksgiving. And really, it's an appropriate thing because we begin to give thanks and we remember. But, of course, as we talked last week, Thanksgiving is something we should continually be giving to God, right? Amen? Giving thanks to Him. It's not just a day of the year. And let's be honest, in most homes, there's not a lot of Thanksgiving going on anyway. There's a lot of eating and a lot of football watching, right? There's not a lot of Thanksgiving really going on. But I love the way it kind of kicks off into the holiday season and celebrating the greatest gift of all. And there's some things I just wanted to share with you about that. But I also wanted to talk a little bit more about Thanksgiving. But I guess if I had a title for my message today, I want to talk to you about the shout of Thanksgiving, the shout of praise, and the power that is there, okay? Psalm 92 says, it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Now, what does that mean? It's a good thing. It means it's beneficial to you to give thanks. It's a blessing to you. But could I tell you today, it's the key to your victory and breakthrough. Amen. The thanks that you give, it's the key to the victory and breakthrough many, many times. You know, most of you know that I love the New Testament epistles, but I especially love the book of Hebrews. Not only for the chapter about faith and all of that, I love the chapters about the covenant and the blood and the access that we have to God because of the blood. I love all of that. But when the book of Hebrews kind of comes in for a close in the last couple of chapters, we're told that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So we have this beautiful covenant. And then he goes on to say, but we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. How many are glad for that? Hallelujah. We ought to give thanks for that. No matter what shakes, the kingdom that I've received as a believer is not shaken. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. God never gets nervous. Are you with me? You'll never find our God nervous and trembling about anything. Hallelujah. He's never caught off guard. We read in the Psalms that he sits in the heavens and he laughs. He scoffs at them who would try to scheme and plan against him and his anointed son. But I wanted to say this to you today. We are told, understanding that with gratitude, everybody say gratitude, we're to worship our Lord with reverence and awe. Why? For our God is a consuming fire. And where do we go and worship today? Oh, Lord, burn me with your fire. Amen? Consume me with your fire. And it's like, I just love it when prophetically the music just flows right with what was going on. But we're to continue. He goes on to say, we're to continue in our love for the brethren, our love for one another. We're to show hospitality to strangers. You know why? Because sometimes we could be entertaining angels unaware. Isn't that interesting? Hallelujah. We're to be free from the love of money, and we're to learn to be content. And it says this, for he will never leave us or forsake us. You know, quoting Jesus' words to us about the abiding Holy Spirit. We're never alone. Hallelujah. And then he says this, we're to confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I mean, that ought to be something you confidently say. And then he says this, we're to imitate the faith of those who have gone before us. For Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because, you know, if God asked us to imitate the faith of our forefathers in the faith, and God was different with us today, and a lot of people think he is. But the problem is we're not imitating their faith. Hello? If you don't imitate their faith, you can't experience the level of Jesus they experienced. And the devotion they had and their faith is what led to many of the things. So I share that with you to encourage you. But then I want you to look with me at Hebrews 13:15. It says this, through him then, through Jesus, let us what? What's the next word? Continually, say it, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is what? The fruit of lips that do what? Give thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. How many of you want to please the Lord? Hallelujah. This is really what we're called to do. And I know I've said it many times. We don't drag animals in here and slay them on an altar. We don't burn things. We offer our sacrifice of praise, and we do good, and we share, and we give. And with these sacrifices, God is pleased with us. God smiles on us when we walk in these things. Now, I want to talk about the Thanksgiving again. You might be saying, Thanksgiving's behind us now. No, it's not. Right. It's to be continual. Amen? Yeah. There's two types of Thanksgiving in a way. I just want to show you the cycle of Thanksgiving. First of all, I know I shared a little bit on this exhortation video that I sent out a few days ago. But you, first of all, you're thanking the Lord for what he has done. I mean, if God does something, you ought to thank him for it. Yeah. Amen? And you ought to remember it. And you ought to celebrate it. You ought to talk about it. Amen? But also, there's thanking the Lord in faith. You're thanking the Lord for something that you've not yet actually received outside of faith. You've just received it in faith. Y'all see where I'm going? But there's a thanksgiving that's attached to that. Remember this always. The testimony of Jesus is what? The spirit of prophecy. So as I'm giving thanks to the Lord for what he has done, it's because what the Lord intends to do again in my life or in your life. And so I give thanks for that. It's this giving of thanks according to faith that is called a sacrifice of praise. Amen? Amen? You're praising for something good he's done, should we? Yes. But can you praise him before it is manifest? That's when praise becomes what? A sacrifice. Does it make sense? That's the sacrifice. So I would just say this. Are we really in faith, and are we really believing for those things we're hoping for? If you say yes to that, then the praise that you offer is a praise of faith. It's a praise that you offer up to. Let me give you an example. You're believing for healing, but you still have pain in your body, and you're not in that place of the manifestation of it. But in your praise to God, you not only confessed it by his stripes you were healed, you begin to praise him for it. Lord, I thank you today. I am the healed of the Lord, for by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. I begin to celebrate, and I offer a sacrifice. And every foul spirit in hell is going, whoa. This guy's still hurting. He's still in pain. He's not even out. He's not even in freedom yet. And yet he's celebrating it ahead of time. Amen. There's an old pastor back in Memphis. He used to preach it all the time. You better learn how to praise God on credit. Amen. Amen. Because he's good and he's unchanging and he's faithful. Amen. He's dependable. Amen. I can extend him credit with praise. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Because I'll give him the credit now before he ever even touches me. Because really, in all honesty, he's already touched me. Praise be to his name. Now, Romans chapter 1, We're not going to turn there. But in Romans chapter 1, it tells us about how men become futile in their speculations, how they become darkened in their hearts. And then he says in verse 21, he says, even though they knew God, get this, even though they knew God. So he's not talking about people who didn't know God. This is what's scary about this passage. He said, even though they knew God, get this, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. Which tells me something. The giving of thanks is not only the key to my breakthrough and the key to my victory, but to give thanks, what I'm doing, I'm honoring and acknowledging him as God. I may be going through something right now, but Jesus, you're the Lord over it. See what I'm saying? So I'm giving you thanks, Lord. You're the Lord over that situation in my life, in my physical body, in my finances, in my family, whatever it may be. But I'm giving you the lordship over it because I'm going to give you thanks. Because it doesn't change one thing. What I'm going through doesn't change one thing about the reality of who you are. And you are above all and over all. Amen? And so I'll give you thanks in that. It's the key to our victory. But it actually enlightens us too. Because if we don't give thanks, we risk becoming darkened in our hearts. It's just called ungratefulness. How many know ungratefulness is not good for you? Ungratefulness will never get you anywhere spiritually. It will actually inhibit you and work like a cancer in your soul and in your mind and your will and in your emotions. It's very a dangerous thing to allow that to come. We become futile in all of our speculations. But the sacrifice of praise is the key to our victory. After all, what is the victory that has overcome the world? Our faith. Amen? Because if I'm in faith and I believe for the things I'm hoping for, then if I really believe it, would I not be praising him for it? Amen? Lord, I know you provide all my needs according to your riches and glory. Amen? I have a sufficiency and actually I have an abundance to carry out every good work. And you begin to celebrate that. You begin to praise that. It solidifies your faith, keeps your own heart enlightened. And I got to be careful here because I got a lot I want to share. But anyway, did you get that? Now, I want to take you to a story that I reference a lot, and many ministers do, from 2 Chronicles 20. But I want us to actually read the story again today because it's something we quote and pull verses out of it all the time, and I do it too. But I want to talk to you about, if you want to turn there, you can, to 2 Chronicles 20. What we see here is these three armies have come together to make war with King Jehoshaphat. They've come together to war against King Jehoshaphat. And King Jehoshaphat is completely overwhelmed by these armies, okay? And I want us to go to verse 3. Look what Jehoshaphat does. It said Jehoshaphat was afraid. Everybody say he was afraid. But now, how many of you know? Let's be honest. The Bible says fear not. The only reason the Bible will tell us to fear not is the opportunity to be fearful will come. Hello? The opportunity will present itself. But it's what you do when fear comes. It's how do you fear not? It's one thing to say fear not, but how do you do that? Well, here's the answer. You turn your attention to what? Seek the Lord. Amen? To seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. So Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. Now think about this. Jehoshaphat and the whole congregation of the people gathered together to turn to seek the Lord in fasting and prayer. And guess why? To overcome fear. Because the report that they had, we have these three mighty armies that had banded together, and there ain't no way in the natural we're going to win this. How many of you ever get a report like that? There ain't no way in the natural this can be fixed. But God. But God. Amen? Hallelujah. So look at verse number 5. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand so that no one can stand against you. Did you not, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? They have lived in it and have built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you, for your name is in this house, and cry. Now that word again means to cry out with a loud voice, okay? Cry out to the Lord, to you in our distress, and you will what? Hear us and deliver us. Now, behold, now this is interesting. The sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. They turned aside from them and did not destroy them. See how they are rewarding us. In other words, we didn't drive these guys out and now they're coming after us. by coming to drive us out of your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. Here it is. But our eyes are on you. Anybody ever been in that place? Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I mean, that's a great posture to be in. All Judah was standing before the Lord. Get this. With their infants, their wives, and their children. Everybody was before the Lord. They placed their eyes on the Lord. I want to say this to you today. There is a prophetic release when a congregation of people assemble together. There is a prophetic release if we assemble together to worship and pray and seek His face. Hello? That's the difference. That's the difference. We're seeking the face of God. For any time I believe we sincerely set our eyes on the Lord, He will respond to us. Amen? Just like I said today, He will heal. He will give you the breakthrough. He is faithful. Amen? Amen? Here's another thing. Courage comes. We need courage. That's why I try to preach to encourage you, not discourage you. Discouragement takes your courage away. Encouragement imparts courage to you. Amen? We need courage. Because it's still going to be a fight. Even though God fights the fight, we still have to do our part. Now look at verse 14. Then, in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph. Okay, aren't you glad you know that now? Okay. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, everybody say tomorrow, go down against them. I'd have been like, time out, you just said this ain't our battle. Hello? Hello? Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz. I like that. The ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the Elabrick Road. No, at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness and Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Everybody say, station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. He didn't say run and hide and cry some more. He said stand. Amen? O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them. Why? For the Lord is with you. So the Lord says clearly, do not fear, for the battle is mine. Does he not? Does he not? But he also says, you will have to go face them tomorrow. That's interesting, isn't it? And I will be with you. Now we see here that we face our enemy. We face the fear with our heart toward God. We face the fear, and we're going to find out here in a moment, we face the fear with our song and with our shout. Amen? With our giving of thanks. That's how you face the fear. Because I don't know about you, that's a great word of the Lord, but I still got to go down there. Are you with me? Look what verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a what? Say it. A very loud voice. Say it again. A very loud voice. Loud is in the Bible. Get over yourself. Your pastor's not just loud. It's biblical to be loud. Bill laughs loud. Bill does everything loud. I like Bill. It's okay to be loud. Amen. Love you, Bill. He loves loud too. They bowed in worship and they loudly praise. I want you to notice that. They bowed in worship and they loudly praise. Can I tell you this today? That's the proper response to a prophetic word. Yeah. Worship the Lord and praise Him with all your heart. Amen. That's the proper response when you get a prophetic word from the Lord. And that's exactly what they had received. Because I want to tell you today, it is crucial today. Hear my heart. There's so many things we can learn from this story. It's crucial today that we praise and worship. Would you agree? Yes. And also that we activate our faith. Okay? We're not just crying at the altar. Oh, God. Oh God. No, they said, Lord, we're looking at you. Tell us what to do. And he gave them a word. So they had to activate their faith. They praised and worshiped the Lord. But you got to learn to do it today before you go face your enemy tomorrow. Yeah. Amen? Very important. Look at verse 20. They arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem." Now, I've been quoting this verse to you all of 2020. "Put your trust in the Lord your God." Come on, talk to me. "And you will be established." Amen? Hallelujah. "Put your trust in his prophets and you will succeed." Hallelujah. Now, what does it mean to trust? Well, to trust simply, here's the best way for me to define it, is it's to believe in and keep on believing. And to not stop believing. Because if you trust, you won't quit believing. How many know, we've all, and my hand's up, I know how to believe for a short term. I've got a lot of those disasters in my past where I believe for a moment or a day or two, or some of us, I know I've joked about this, some of us don't, we quit believing about the time we get to our car in a parking lot. But trust, it takes it to another level. Are y'all with me? You got to trust, because a lot of times things are not going anywhere near according to the timing we would want. I mean, what would we have wanted to happen would be God would drop a nuclear bomb on these three armies and it'd be over with. We prayed, God nuked them, we're out of here. Right? But no, it doesn't work that way. We're in spiritual warfare. So trust, keep believing in the Lord and be established. Trust, keep believing in his prophetic words and you will succeed. How many know we need prophetic words? We need prophetic insight. And it's not so we can just show off somebody's gift. It's about God giving us prophetic. I like to say this. God likes to come into the midst and say, "I'm with you," but he also, prophetically, he paints the target. You know, smart weapons, they paint a target, and then when they fire that weapon, it goes straight to where they painted it. And God's doing that. He's painting the target for us with the prophetic word of the Lord. Amen? So it's one thing to bow down and worship and lift up praises because we got a good word, right? We've all been there. Oh, hallelujah! But it's a whole other thing to trust until it's fulfillment. But can I tell you, it is through the continual, everybody say continual, giving of thanks that we're able to keep trusting, that we're able to keep on believing, that we're able to endure until the promise is fulfilled, until the breakthrough comes, until you're suddenly actually shows up. You have to be able to trust. And I'm telling you, one of the keys to it is the giving of thanks and just celebrating it right in the devil's face every day of your life until the breakthrough comes. Amen? It's the power of giving thanks. Now let's look at it. Go to verse 21. Just keep reading. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord. Obviously, those who sang to the Lord weren't a part of that consultation. No, I'm just kidding. He appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out, get this, before the army. And he said, "Give thanks," what? "To the Lord for his loving kindness is everlasting." So they go out before their enemy and they're thanking God about how merciful and kind he is. Doesn't even sound that much like war, but it is war. It brings glory. When you emphasize that, the goodness of God, glory comes. Are you with me? Are you with me? When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. Literally, if you go on to read what happens, they literally turned on one another. The three armies were completely wiped out. I mean, these guys, I don't know where they got their war strategy. But it was the confusion that the praises of God put into the spirit realm. And they literally turned on one another and they were routed. And you know what the army did? All the army did was go in and pick up the spoil. They never fired a shot. They never drew their sword. Amen? They just went in and picked up the spoils of victory. Thank God for the worship team. Hallelujah. Now, I'm inspired by this story. Amen? But you can't take out of this story the power of praise and thanksgiving. You can't do it. And a lot of people will try to. It's not even about just praying. It's not even about just seeking God. It's about how you respond when God responds to you. Amen? And that's where our faith is. That's where you stand and face the enemy. Can I say this to you? The sacrifice of praise precedes the actual victory. Hello? Hello? Yes. And it's not easy when you're in a battle. You know, the last Sunday, you know, I was sleepy in here because I'd been up half the night praying for my daughter-in-law and my new grandbaby. Amen? And I tell you, I was like, this word, I'd already had this word. And I'm like, number one, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Number two, it's hard to just start praising. But you know, I did it anyway. And I don't know what my neighbors thought. I don't really know what they thought. I don't really care. But I'm telling you, I did come to a place where I felt something shift as something happened. And then a few moments later, I finally got the call. She's okay. And, as a pastor, just to not even be able to go see people, this has been the most frustrating year for me, just not being able to even go see people and do what I love to do and to lay hands on people and pray for them and minister to them. It's difficult. Here's the thing. When we're facing the enemy, the sacrifice praise will be our spiritual weapon against him. Amen? Now, there's times to rebuke the enemy. There's times to come against him and tell him off, so to speak. But, when you really look at the word, even David, David told Goliath off, but it was all about praising the name of the Lord his God, right? It really wasn't about him, anything that he could do. All that guy had was a slingshot. But it was that he said, I come at you. I don't come at you with my slingshot. He didn't even mention the slingshot. He said, I just come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Amen? Begin to praise God. Here's the thing. When they began, I want you, please get this. Go back and read it again. When they began singing and shouting, the rout began. And I hear the Lord just saying to us, for some of us, we need a rout to begin in our enemy's camp. Would we agree? Yeah. We need a rout to begin. We need to get the out. And let me say something to you. Why don't you try beginning to sing and shout to begin the rout? Amen? I wish I could say that more fluidly, but anyway, I think you get my point. Enough rhyming for today, right? Remember Jericho. Israel circled that city. Remember? For 7 days, they walked around that city. They circled that city. When did the walls come down? When they shouted. I'm telling you guys, there's prophetic power in a shout of thanksgiving and praise unto God. And it causes walls to come down. This is how we fight our battles. Amen? This is when we raise what? A complaint? No. We raise a hallelujah in the presence of our enemy. Amen? Even in our unbelief, we praise him. How many of you have ever done this? You just started to praise God with all your heart and the unbelief left and you found out you were in more faith than you thought you were. Hallelujah, because we do all of this by the faith of the Son of God. Amen? When I start shouting, doubt leaves. When I started shouting, doubt flew out of my bedroom that night. I started to have faith and confidence in God again. This is how we fight our battles. Hallelujah. Amen. Paul and Silas, not going well. Amen. Beaten, backs bloodied, in a prison, chained in stocks and chains. And what are they doing at midnight, at the darkest of hours? Amen. They're praying and singing praises to the Lord God. So loudly that the whole prison was listening, by the way. And an earthquake came. That wasn't just happened to be a fault line there. An earthquake came, amen? And the prison shook and the doors opened and all the chains came. And what's so powerful, even the chains on all the other prisoners came off. And they didn't even leave. The glory of God was so strong, they didn't even want to run off. That's a miracle right there. Come on. Bunch of guys in prison, the doors open, I'm going to hang around and have a worship service? Try to keep the jailer from killing himself? Really don't care if he kills himself. I just want to get out of here, right? That was a miracle in itself. Now, I've heard this statement I'm getting ready to make to you, and I don't want to claim it as my own, but I will after 2 or 3 Sundays of using it. But but I heard it, and some of you know the man who really was a general of the, and still is, a general of the prophetic movement, Bill Hammond, right? He uses this phrase, but then I also heard some other guys that I've been watching on TV use this phrase, and I said, well, okay, I guess enough people are saying it now, I can say it. But I like this. Just hear it. We must not doubt in the dark what we heard in the light. Yep, there you go. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
We've got to learn how to not doubt while we're in the dark what we clearly heard in the light. How many of you hear things when you come to church? You hear things when you get in prayer. You hear things when you get in the Word of God. You're in the light of His presence, in the secret place, and God speaks to you, right? It's hard to hear that sometimes when it's dark. What you got to learn to do is to not doubt. And one of the best ways to overcome the darkness in that time is to start giving thanks to the Lord for that Word. Amen? Y'all receive that? Let me say it again. We must not doubt in the dark what we have heard in the light. Hallelujah. Why? Because death and life is in the power of your tongue and my tongue. Amen? Amen? And praise is a mighty weapon of God against the enemy. Glory be to God. It is not what we do before the sermon. Y'all hear me? It is not what we do to set up the sermon. Hello? Praise is a weapon to silence the enemy. And Jesus even quoted that verse. Remember, we went into the temple. Remember, the whole city is stirred. They're coming in. Everybody is singing, waving palm branches. He's riding into the city for his triumphal entry. They're singing, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes. If you look in your Bible, there's exclamation points. Whenever you see an exclamation point, that's a shout. Okay? That's very forceful. And they're proclaiming, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he comes to his father's temple. And all the money changing and all the stuff is going on in there. And he goes in there and he turns over their tables and takes a whip and drives them out of the temple. Wow, my gentle Jesus just got worked up, right? And he drives them out of the temple. And he said, my father's house is to be a house of prayer. Amen? But you've made it a robber's den. And he rebuked them. But here, in all of this chaos, this is the part that gets me. In all of this chaos, so to speak, the sick and the lame came to him and he started healing them. I mean, there's still coins rolling around on the floor, spinning. You know, birds were set free and people are probably cursing at Jesus. And he's having a healing service in the temple, making it very, very clear, making it very, very clear, making it very, very clear that when God's house is in order, there's healing. Amen. God's healing is a healing house. It's a prophetic house. It's a house of his presence and his love and his power. Hallelujah. But the religious were there. They didn't leave. They stick to you like a Klingon. They don't leave. And they started to say, do you hear what these children are saying? Of course, the children were continuing to sing and lifting up praises. And Jesus said, yeah, have you never read? And he quotes from Psalm 8, that out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast established praise for thyself to silence the enemy. And Jesus quotes that back to them. Now, I'll be honest with you, I'd never read it out of the Passion Translation. Are you ready for this? This is so good. Let me read it to you. You have built a stronghold by the songs of babies. Strength rises up with the chorus of singing children. And I'd say to you today, all of us are his singing children. Amen? This, get this now. This kind of praise has the power to shut Satan's mouth. Childlike worship will silence the madness of those who oppose you. Come on. Amen. Childlike, just, what did he say? Unless you become like a child, you can't even enter the kingdom. Right. Time for us to grow down in some things, amen? Praise is ordained by God to silence the enemy. You might say, well, why does the enemy hate praise so much? Well, because God inhabits it. God's enthroned upon it. Amen. When we praise, God arises. And guess what happens when God arises? His enemies are scattered. Hallelujah. The enemy hates it. If you were to ever get a revelation of this. And we know the verse well in James that says, count it all joy. When? When you have the victory? No. Count it all joy when you encounter what? Various trials and tribulations. Knowing what? That the testing of your faith will produce endurance. And then let endurance have its perfect result in you, that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. I'll take some of that. Amen? 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 But can you count it all joy? That means, can you count it as joy when there ain't nothing to be joyful about in the natural? Your only joy is on the promise of his word. Your only joy is on the promise and integrity of God because you trust him. Hallelujah. Are y'all seeing this? Because I'm telling you, even in the darkest of times, can you rejoice? Because, you know, weeping and darkness may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Amen? Hallelujah. I heard the Lord say to me this week, you need to bring forth the dawning of a new day by putting a shout in your mouth. Hallelujah. You want a new day? You want some light to come to your darkness? Put a shout in your mouth and bring forth a mighty breakthrough with a shout of joy. Hallelujah. The question I would ask today is this. Could joy along with peace be the very factor that brings forth triumph and victory and breakthrough for us? I believe it is. Now, a lot of times we don't think of joy and peace going together because we think of joy being really raucous and all of that and peace being different, but they're actually one and the same. Let me show it to you. We won't turn there. I'm going to give you a couple of verses because for the sake of time. But Romans 16, 19 says this, I want you to be excellent in what is good, and I want you to be innocent of evil. Okay? Now, we all know that. That ought to be our heart. And what? The God of peace, the God of what? Peace will soon crush Satan, where? Underneath your feet. So how many know peace is important? We've talked at length about that. We talked about the peace that Jesus had to sleep during a storm in the boat and then rise up with an authority and command that storm to cease, right? But the peace is very, very important so that we're not working from a place of being frantic or panicked or in fear because there's no authority in fear. I'll say it again. There's no authority in fear. Even on the fear side, there's no authority, not real authority. There's no authority in fear. We see that peace is essential, but so is joy. Why? Because joy of the Lord is your strength. And we need that strength. Rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. And again, I say, peace and joy work together. All right, let me develop this with you. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let's say it together. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's think about that a minute. Our righteousness is not something that we've earned or we've been good enough to prove that we have. Righteousness is something that we've attained by the grace of God through faith. Amen? We have been brought into right standing with God as a gift from God. Are you thankful for that? I tell you what, if nothing else ever happened in your life, that is a reason to praise Him every day of your life and to give thanks to His holy name. For the righteousness, we've been brought into a privileged place to stand blameless before God in the courts of heaven. Amen? But let's talk about that peace. That peace of God is that, again, that shalom. It is that supernatural calm and rest that is actually already in you. Okay? The joy is also supernatural. It's a joy you can have when there's. You might be going, why is she celebrating? You might say, her life is a mess. But she's got a joy. What does the Bible describe it? It's unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? It's a joy that is based in that trust and loving of God. The actual meaning for rejoicing also brings out the meaning of laughter and spinning about. Did you know that? To rejoice, you get your joy back. Rejoice. You get your joy back to the point of laughter and spinning about. Now, the religious don't like that, though. But isn't that great? Isn't that great? It's an ecstatic joy. Y'all look at me funny, but go home and get out your concordance and look it up. Thank you very much. Don't have time to do that today. I promise you we get out of here by 2:00. Now, look at it this way. From a place of righteousness, of right standing before God, we're to have peace and we're to rejoice always. Okay? Now, go to the verse that I shared with you online this week, Philippians 4. Let's look at it one more time. Philippians 4:4. I got to hurry. I've been going down a lot of rabbit trails with this message. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men, for the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but with everything, by what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. A lot of people, that's where they drop the ball. They don't ever let it be known to God. They don't ever pray. They don't ever really pray about it. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's anything worthy of praise, what? Dwell on these things. Think on these things. Meditate on these things. Ponder these things, okay? These things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me. By the way, that's the Apostle Paul writing that. Practice. Everybody say practice these things, okay? And what happens? Come on, the God of peace will be with you. If you don't have the God of peace with you, you're not practicing the right things. I love what it says in Psalm 19, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Amen? Meditating on the goodness of God and rejoicing with thanksgiving, it gives you strength. It keeps you expectant, but it also changes the narrative. Did you get what I said? How many of you know there's times, man, I need the narrative to change? I'm tired of the reports I'm getting. I'm tired of the backlash I'm getting. And you change the narrative in this way. I know I've said this to you before, but we're to be like a thermostat, not a thermometer. Hello? All a thermometer does is tell you how it is. But a thermostat calls for a change. You set it, and it calls for a change. Amen? And there's an atmosphere of heaven God wants you to call for. We're to be God's spiritual thermostats. That's what the remnant's to be. We call what? Thy kingdom come and thy will be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. We're to call for heaven's atmosphere. How many know, boy, heaven's atmosphere was filling this place today in our worship, right? It wouldn't have happened if we just sat around complaining about COVID or about our job situation or our family or how lousy my Thanksgiving was or whatever. But because we turned our eyes to the Lord, the atmosphere of heaven came into this room. Are y'all with me? His righteousness, his peace, and his joy is God's spiritual ecosystem. It's his ecosystem of the kingdom. And it's a supernatural. Here's what Jesus said. Get this. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay. Check. Right? He said, what did he say about peace? He said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Check. You already have it. See what I'm saying? He said, my joy, that my joy may be in you and that joy be made full in you. It's already within you. How about glory? Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Are y'all with me? It's the ecosystem of the kingdom of God. And it's within you already. And with our praises and our thanksgiving, we release that into the atmosphere. Like we were saying, we're talking about beholding him and him shining on us. But we're talking about how we release a fragrance in every place. It's the fragrance of the one whom we love and who is within us. What does it say? I'm crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave. In other words, it's Jesus supposed to be coming out of me. Amen? You may say, how is that possible? Because Holy Spirit's within you. He sent his Spirit so that he could abide, the Father and the Son could abide in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's time like never before to release a powerful shout of praise. I love what the psalmist said, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. What do you think a voice of triumph sounds like? Yay. Yay, God. Are you with me? Yeah. Well, you brought it up. Marvin brought it up, so everybody forgive me when I go there. You go to a game, nobody has touched the football in game time. All right? They tee the ball up. The teams are on the field. And what does the stadium do? A roar comes. You heard it? And they roar and they roar and it gets louder and louder, especially if the home team. And when that ball is kicked, you hear this kind of like, ah, right? Like a bunch of warriors. And nobody in those stands shouting is going to get in that battle at all. They're not getting very close to that field. Are you with me? They're not going to pay any price for the victory today. Are you with me? It's in our nature. You might say, no, it's not my nature. Yes, it is. Because there's a warrior in you. Did you know that? Oh, there's a lover in you, but there's a warrior in you too. Because he's a lover and a warrior. Are you with me? There's a shout that I believe brings breakthroughs. There's a shout that makes prison doors open and chains fall off. There's a shout that causes barrenness to end. Come on. It causes barrenness to end and fruitfulness to come. There's a shout that makes walls fall down flat. And the Lord commands us to praise him. All through the Psalms, we're commanded to praise the Lord. Hebrews and Zephaniah tell us that the Lord rejoices over us with singing and shouts of joy. I mean, if we could really experience that, how many know, you wouldn't have to give anybody a pep talk on praising God. If you knew that the God that you love is singing over you and rejoicing over you. You remember in Luke 10 when Jesus sent the 70 out and they came back and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Remember that? And Jesus, he said, they were amazed. I would have been too. Come on. These guys weren't even born again. And Jesus said, they came back. And Jesus, he said then, you know, don't rejoice in this, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, right? But then he said this. Then it says this. Then Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit and began to pray to the Father. And it literally means that Jesus got excited. It was kind of like, yes, hallelujah. I don't know if you said yes or not. And he began to celebrate with the Father in the Holy Spirit. He literally, the meaning there was he exuberantly expressed himself in rejoicing. I believe he jumped up and span about. Was probably high-fiving, and there was no social distancing going on. They were celebrating. Are y'all with me? See, people don't even think that Jesus actually. We've watched too many Hollywood movies where he just walks around emotionless and, you know, never shows a smile, never smiles or anything. And I'm like, oh, man, that's a lousy depiction of Jesus. Are y'all religious? Y'all look at me like you're religious. I hope you're. I'm just sharing the scripture with you. Did you know our God shouts with a war cry? Go to Isaiah 42. I'm glad you asked. Where is it, Pastor? I'll show you. Come on, you ate enough in Thanksgiving. You don't need to eat lunch today. Behold, the former things have come. Verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Say it, new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. That's a prophetic word. Now, what do we do? Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in them, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices. The settlements where Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. That's our assignment to the prophetic word. Amen. Verse 13, it gets even better. The Lord, everybody say the Lord, will go forth like a warrior, and he will arouse his zeal like a man of war, and he will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry, and he will prevail against his enemies. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Woo. My Lord would never tell you, tone it down, Bennett.
No way.
Never.
Louder.
I ain't got time to show you, but I'll show you if you want to stay a few more minutes now. But in Revelation, they're praising him, and it's the sound of a mighty waterfall.
Yeah.
And then a voice that said came from heaven and said, do it again. And they begin to sing again. Hallelujah to the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Guys, this is going to be a party.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. It will. Amen, brother. This is why restoring David's tabernacle is so important. When I taught on that a few months ago, it was a place of exuberant praise and worship, dancing, the lifting up of hands, and the use of instruments. Can y'all give me 10 more minutes? I'm serious. Okay. I want to finish this. I know it's 12 o'clock, but don't look at your watch or your phone. Nobody has watches anymore, do they?
No.
Obviously, your pastor doesn't. There's four Hebrew words for praise. Halal, and where we also get a word very similar to this, derived from hallelujah, right? And then we have tehillah, and we have shabak. Are you ready for this? It means to shout, to boast, to celebrate, to dance and spin about, to be clamorously foolish, and sing with rejoicing. It's the rave. It really, that's what it means. Yada is the lifting of the hands in a show of obviously praise and affection. But how many of you know it's also a show of surrender when you lift your hands? How many of you know posture is important? And that's why we lift our hands. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. How about this word? Zamar, which means to praise and worship him with instruments. How many of you know these psalms in the Bible are all musical prayers and praises unto God? They're musical. Hello? The very final psalm kind of wraps it up. I want to say this to you. The Lord loves music. Music was created to worship him and to praise him. Psalm 150 says that we're to praise him with trumpet. We're to praise him with harp and lyre. We're to praise him with timbrel and dancing, with stringed instruments, pipes, loud cymbals, and resounding cymbals. Everybody in the orchestra, if you got an instrument, praise God with it. That's what he was saying. And then he says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. You may not play an instrument, but you are an instrument. And if you're breathing, you ought to be praising him. Why don't you give him a praise right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are in a time where we need a breakthrough and we need a shout of praise to bring it. I believe that with all my heart. And rejoicing is the key to that breakthrough. And courage will come and peace will come with courage. And we need that. Many are battling heaviness, but what does the Bible say? Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I love what it says in Psalm 81. He said, I, the Lord your God, am he who led you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. It's time for us to open our mouths and praise the Lord. Look quickly with me at Psalm 107. Oh, what? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is what? Everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. How, y'all look at me. You have been redeemed out of the hand of the adversary. Amen. So don't you doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's right. Glory be to God. Psalm 100. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with, come on, thanksgiving. I think some people thought that said coffee. No, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. And his faithfulness to all generations. Here's what I challenge you today. Let thanksgiving become your lifestyle. Amen? Amen. Let it become your lifestyle, not just a holiday. We need a breakthrough, and we need a breakthrough shout. Would you agree with me? One more verse. Did I give you Psalm 92? It's the last one I gave you. And everybody sighed their relief. I want to say this, sing and shout to him in the morning. Stay with me. And sing and shout to him at night. Look what it says here. Psalm 92:1. It is good, there it is again, to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Hallelujah. I think that covers it. This is the cure to heaviness in your home. I'm serious. You could change the atmosphere in your home and in your household and in your marriage and in any situation if we would do this. I believe that with all my heart. I believe it'll give a lift to your spirit. You'll have new courage. You'll have peace. You'll have joy and strength to do what God's called you to do. And all he's really called you to do is stand and see what he does. But somebody's got to go stand and face the foul devil. Amen. You got to face him. And God said, I want you to face him with my shout in your mouth. Hallelujah. Because I'm a warrior God. If you'll just sing and shout to me, I'm going to get up. And I got news for you. When God shouts, our shout may drive the enemy back. But when God rises up as a warrior and he lifts up a war cry, I got news for you. They're out of here. Demons are out of here in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Practice these things. That's what Paul said. Practice them. And what does that mean? Be diligent to do them. That means it's not always going to be emotionally something you want to do. Hello? More times than not, I'm not really that thrilled about expending myself in worship and praise. But I do it because I know I'm going to be a lot better on the other side of giving myself. I love David's heart. He just says things like this. I will celebrate. He willed himself to celebrate. He willed himself to worship. So what do we practice? Meditate on good things. Amen? Amen? Meditate on good things, his goodness, his greatness, his testimony. One of the best ways to meditate, get in the Word. Amen. You might say, I ain't had a whole lot happen in my life. I don't even know. I can't even think of anything good. It's been horrible. So, well, bless your little heart. Get into the Word. And just read what Jesus does. Read what happened in the book of Acts and meditate on that. Amen. Bless your little heart. It's time to, come on. There's no excuse. You got something to meditate on right here. Hallelujah. And as you do this, rejoice always. Activate your faith by making your request known to God. Amen. Get bold. And even in that, offer it with what? Thanksgiving. And then morning and night, night and day, morning and night, night and day, give thanks and celebrate and rejoice. Lift up a shout. your neighbors will probably say, he's at it again. Right? I thought for a while they were having marriage problems, but I don't know. I never heard a man shout hallelujah to his wife when he's mad at her. Raise a shout. Raise a hallelujah. Amen? This is how we honor the Lord our God. Would you stand up with me? Come on, stand up with me. Take a deep breath. Hallelujah. Come on. Are y'all ready? I want you to shout these things after me right now into the heavens. Are you ready?
Yes.
Dan, you can come on up. Whoever's here, you guys can come on up. Are you ready? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
The Lord is my helper.
The Lord is my helper.
And I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
What will man do to me?
What can man do to me?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
For my Lord,
it's
the same yesterday. Today and forever. Hallelujah. Great is your faithfulness. Oh Lord my God. Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. I'm going to release that Zephaniah decree over you one more time. And I want you to respond as you want to respond. But I would challenge you to do it right now. Shout for joy, O daughter of Zion. Hallelujah. Shout in triumph, O Israel. Rejoice with all your heart. Come on. The Lord has taken away his judgments against you. Come on. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. I love this one. You will fear disaster no more. Say no more. In that day, it will be said to Jerusalem, do not be afraid, O Zion. Do not let your hands fall limp. Come on, come on. The Lord your God is in your midst. He is a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. And he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy.
Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Jesus!